You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is The Rob Carson Show.
And by the grace of God, it is finally Good Friday. Good Friday has a, I think for me anyway, and probably you, a deeper meaning because, you know, of the trials and tribulations we've been through the last 4 years, and maybe we are experiencing a time of great enlightenment, and we're learning more about the people in government and how little they care about you and me. A lot of things coming up this hour. I do want to share something. Alan Dershowitz was on Newsmax last night, and he talked about Joe Lieberman, and one of the final things that he penned before he died unexpectedly just a few hours later. And I'll share details on that, but it's a warning to the Democrat Party about the Jewish vote, of all things. We'll get to that. But this morning I was hanging around the house and I was like, all this squatting is going on, and you know, you got illegals online saying, hey, you know, we come to America, we can get all this and all that, and we just move into a house if it's open, because that's the way they do it in Venezuela. And so I said to Jim Gosset, I said, you know, maybe we ought to do a squatter song. And we came up with this. Yeah, squatter song.
Boot, boot, boot all the squatters, every single one.
Yeah.
Tell, tell, tell all the squatters, your squatting days are done. Run, DeSantis is cracked down. New York, they have not. Eric Adams has coddled criminals who squat. Squatters in New York City, what they do is quite crappy. Squatters, they are lawbreakers. They are greedy property takers. They're out of line. They squat a whole lot of nerve. They've got they case your home. They plot break into mine. You're shot. You're out of line. Best believe me. Squat in my home. I might shoot you.
Uh-oh.
Boot, boot, boot all the squatters. Kick them out today. Tell, tell, tell all the squatters, stay the hell away.
There you go. That is brand new from Jim Gosset. You know, it's kind of funny because my kids are, they're left of me, certainly. And last night we were talking about squatters moving into your home. And my daughter, she was actually, when I was saying, yeah, they ought to boot them out, and if somebody comes into your house, shoot them. And she's like, yeah. I was like, well, really? Yeah, really? Yeah. Yeah, I think everybody agrees on it. And again, another thing that Democrats are on the wrong side of history on. I know, I'm as surprised as you. As surprised as you. I do have some information with regard to the crash of the boat into the Key Bridge in Baltimore, the Dolly. Some new information on that. Oddly enough, you're gonna be amazed. When it came to the black box recorder, the data recorder of the ship, believe it or not, the 2 minutes preceding the crash were unavailable. It just was erased. Isn't that weird? Right before the FBI was there on scene saying nothing happened here. It was perfectly just an accident. Okay? We got details on that coming up. Again, still on the fence. Still on the fence. But, you know, as soon as you get the FBI involved, we're in a sad state of affairs when the FBI chiming in on something makes you want to believe the opposite. Isn't that kind of interesting? I do want to play this soundbite before we get into some illegal immigration. Russell Brand is a common sense liberal. I remember years ago, Russell Brand, like, hosted the MTV Music Awards. He looked like an idiot. He was far left. And he, like Bill Maher and some others, who had kind of a come-to-Jesus moment with regard to common sense. Although I would venture to say Russell Brand is more conservative than Bill Maher, even more conservative than Joe Rogan. And I want you to listen to this. This is another person saying what I'm saying, that we're all coming together to save our country, even though he doesn't come from America. We're all coming together to save our country, and we're going to roll over the left to get there.
Professional metropolitan people don't like working class people, don't like ordinary people, and now they've found a way to legitimize their hatred. Oh, they're all disgusting. They're all racist. Look at them in their MAGA hats. Look at them with their white vans and their flags. Look at them with their perspectives, with their unearned views and their belches and their beer.
It's MAGA fascist enemies of democracy, white supremacists, deplorables.
It's a kind of legitimacy. legitimization of a loathing of the people that are most connected to the nation. People, yes, that, generally speaking, a couple of generations ago were asked to sacrifice the lives of their sons and daughters for the, yes, for the idea of nation, an idea that they're now being told doesn't, yes, exist. For me, what we need to see is an emergence of a different type of populism that transcends the boundaries of left and right. These things are happening organically and naturally anyway, and I think that we're at this crux point. Which way is it going to go? Are people going to wake up to the reality that we are being confronted with?
Yeah, they are. I told you that one of the things that bring us together is suffering, and a lot of us are. And in that, we see people who need help. We want to reach out to them and help them, you know? And this brings us together because we realize that Washington, D.C. is spending our money like it's going out of style. They're not listening to what we say about the southern border. So this is pretty, I think it's pretty amazing. Speaker Johnson is going to deliver impeachment articles against Mayorkas, Alejandro Mayorkas, who honestly should go to the jail the rest of his life. House Speaker Mike Johnson Thursday notified Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer that the House will deliver the articles of impeachment against DHS Chief Alejandro Mayorkas to the Senate on April the 10th. The American people deserve accountability. Hell yeah, now close the damn border. How about we close the border, Mike Johnson? How about that? Last month, Alejandro Mayorkas was impeached in the House of Representatives by a vote of 214-213. More than 11 million illegals, mainly military-age males, have invaded the U.S. on Joe Biden's open border invitation. And I'm not even touching on the tribulations we face just regarding that before November, let alone the four indictments of Donald Trump that are political. Stephen Miller is one of my favorites. Absolutely love this guy. Stephen Miller is a political pundit. He's kind of like, I don't know, maybe like bordering on savant. He's just a brilliant, brilliant guy. Here is his Biden border redux.
Well, it's quite simple. The Trump policy was deter, detain, yep, deport.
Yep.
Joe Biden eradicated that policy, and Democrats have implemented a new policy. Release, resettle, reward. Yeah. Reward with cash, reward with work permits, reward with free hotels, yeah, reward with free flights, free lawyers, free health care.
While you suffer, while you suffer, while you debate whether you can afford groceries, where you have to put stuff on a credit card to feed your family and keep your home heated, illegals are getting everything. Going to New York City, being put up in a $500 a night hotel you could never afford, and then getting a gift card, $350 a week for groceries, when you don't have a job, you don't have any bills, and you're staying free in New York City.
Free education, free everything.
Oh, and you get free meals, too, by the way.
Prepaid debit cards. They aren't merely smuggling illegal aliens into this country, but Joe Biden and the Democrat Party are subsidizing illegal immigration, yeah, yeah, with millions, indeed billions, of taxpayer dollars.
And you know the amazing thing? It's out in the open, and they're not even denying it. They're not. They just don't give a rip. They're able to get away with it, so they just keep doing it. It was exemplified. The divide between the deep state Democrats and establishment Republicans and the rest of us were exemplified last night, yesterday in New York City. Donald Trump attends the wake of a slain police officer in a city where Democrats defunded the police, where 200 police officers are leaving the force every month in New York City. And then Joe Biden, I don't think he remembers it today, he's at Radio City Music Hall with Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, who said D word for Richard about all of the murder in Chicago, where he's supposed to have grown up, hasn't said anything about the black on black violence, hasn't said anything about the southern border, hasn't said anything about young kids in African-American kids living in cities like Baltimore who have their schools are worse than ever, hasn't said anything. And yet he was the toast of the town last night with Stephen Colbert in Radio City Music Hall, where some seats were selling for $500,000, which many of you will never make in your lifetime. Isn't that just amazing? Here is Stephen Miller using a word that I've been using with regard to the Democrat Party, which is suffering indignities upon you. For instance, when the train derailed in East Palestine, Ohio. Donald Trump was there. They sent Pete Buttigieg over there. They've given no money to the people of East Palestine. Joe Biden didn't show up for a year later. You know why? Because he wants to suffer an indignity upon them. He wants to show them that I have control of everything, and if I decide that you shall get something, you will, and if I decide you won't, then you don't. It's an indignity. Here's Stephen Miller.
Well, this is the ultimate indignity. Not only do you have illegal aliens trespassing in our country, they're now being coached to trespass in our physical homes and steal them from their rightful and legitimate homeowners. This is the dispossession of the American people.
Yeah.
And every Senate Democrat is complicit. Just one.
Yeah, Washington, D.C. and the Democrat Party have already broken up with you. You just haven't heard yet.
1 week ago, and many people may not realize this, there were three votes on the Senate floor, and they came down to a party line vote.
Listen to this.
Every Senate Democrat voted to kill the Lake and Riley Act. They voted to kill an amendment ending sanctuary cities, and they voted to kill an amendment ending Joe Biden's secret migrant flights.
Yeah, I know. Those are kind of no-duhs, right?
Those are the flights where illegal aliens are flown, hopped over the border, and then resettled in towns and cities across America.
Yeah.
They are sponsoring the invasion. They are financing the invasion because their objective, is to have as much illegal immigration as humanly possible.
Absolutely. And they lied to us for years about it. They made Kamala Harris the border czar. She flew down to the Northern Triangle. She said she was going to find the root cause of it. She said it was climate change. And then that went away. And now we're discovering that our DHS, with Alejandro Mayorkas, the man who presided over the creation of the Disinformation Governance Board, just like Joseph Stalin, has actually been spending billions of dollars and hiring NGOs to bring in illegals wholesale, unscreened for COVID, unscreened for anything else, unscreened for criminal records, and most importantly, unscreened from our enemy states like China and Iran and their military-age males without families. Do you get it? Listen to this, the new slavery. Tennessee factory busted for employing migrant children. Remember those 85,000 or so immigrant children the Biden administration lost after shoving them into the turnstile at the border? At least 10 immigrant children under the legal working age were found working at a Tennessee plant that makes lawnmower parts for power equipment companies, including John Deere, Toro, and Yamaha. Tough Torque has been fined $300,000 for employing children as young as 14, has been ordered to cough up another $1.5 million in assistance for the children themselves. Then listen to this. This is how your money is being wasted in states like Maine. Yeah, Portland scrambles to rehouse 64 asylum seeker families in cockroach-infested motel. Taxpayers spent $10 million a year on its shabby rooms as Maine's migrant crisis deepens. One hotel, $10 million. Portland is scrambling to find homes for 64 of these asylum seekers. At the Department of Health and Human Services revoked the lodging license of a Motel 6 on Riverside Street, Portland, where more than 100 rooms were used as emergency shelter for asylum seekers. You know how much you were paying for it, Maine taxpayers? $225 a night at a Motel 6 with cockroaches. Yeah. And they spent $10 million on putting up illegals at this hotel. And you know what happens? Is that the hotel's getting a fraction of that, and the NGO is pocketing the rest of it. Just like NGOs did during COVID, where there was $500 billion in malfeasance with our money. Yeah, that's your U.S. government. Let's take a break and come back, my friends. Details on the Dolly, the ship that hit the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Coming up, this is the Rob Carson Show.
Your 100% safe and effective vaccine against the stupid. It's the Rob Carson Show.
You know, one of the things that I'm grateful for in the last years of Joe Biden's, the last 4 years of Joe Biden's miserable, awful presidency is that the FBI has been exposed for what it is, a purely political agency that abuses and imprisons people. The FBI repeatedly misused a surveillance tool, unsealed a FISA order reveals. The FBI repeatedly misused a surveillance tool in searching for foreign intelligence to use in cases pertaining to January the 6th, the insurrection that wasn't, and the 2020 racial justice protests, according to an April 2022 court order released publicly last week. So the U.S. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, FISA, significantly redacted but reveals thousands of violations of Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which allows the federal government to collect communications between certain targeted foreign individuals outside the U.S. And we know that the FBI has been over-punishing and going after January the 6th protesters. They want to put 2,600 of them behind bars before all is said and done. Meanwhile, almost nothing was done to those who burned the United States in the summer of 2020. Then there's this. Now, you know, I'm still on the fence. I don't know what's going on with this Francis Scott Key Bridge. I don't know if it was an accident. But I question when the first person on the mic after it happened was an FBI official.
Hello, my name is Bill Del Bagno. I'm the special agent in charge of the Baltimore field office. First and foremost, I want to say that our hearts go out to everyone that is impacted by this tragedy, especially the victims and their families. On behalf of the FBI, I would like to say that we are with you, we're with Baltimore, and we're with the partners.
Yeah. What's next?
Every step of the way.
Yes.
The FBI, on very first, looking at and assessing this matter from an investigative standpoint,
yes,
I want to be clear, yes, that there is no specific or credible information to suggest that there are ties to terrorism in this incident.
Okay, there you go. Now, here's Laura Logan dissecting his words. And again, I'm on the fence.
First of all, he gives himself an out because he says at this time, right? And then he's very clever to say there's no credible information. So he's not saying there's no information.
Mm.
So you can't, you know, if you come up with information, you can't say then, well, the FBI knows this or they know that.
And you see, nobody would question if the FBI wasn't so corrupt.
What they're saying is we've determined it's not credible information, but they're leaving the door open. So first of all, they're steering you in a particular direction.
It's kind of weird because they say that there's no terrorism, and yet the investigation will take 2 years.
They're telling you where they want you to go. They want you not to look at this as a terrorist attack. And also, of course, they're using very specific language with a terrorist attack, because what if this is an attack that was carried out, a cyber attack that was carried out by, you know, for example, someone like China, which is a state adversary. So that would not necessarily be classified as a terrorist attack.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of interesting, right? You know, China, the same place that's been trying to hack our, you know, our water supplies and other things, where the federal government has found that the Chinese Communist Party is literally trying to figure out ways to disrupt our supply chains, etc. They flew a spy balloon over. I can go on and on. This is Marcel Muse. He is an NTSB employee, and he says, oddly enough, with regard to the black box on the boat, it missed 2 minutes. It completely blanked 2 minutes before the accident.
At around 01:26 and 39 seconds, the ship's pilot made a general VHF radio call for tugs in the vicinity to assist. About this time, the pilot association dispatcher phoned the MDTA duty officer regarding the blackout. Around 01:27 and 4 seconds, the pilot ordered the dolly to draw.
Now, it's kind of strange because the black box doesn't lose power when the ship loses power. Yeah, yeah. You make up your own mind. But again, it doesn't help that the FBI is completely corrupt and lies about everything. Wouldn't be a problem otherwise. Friend of the show and founder and producer of Getting 300 and the producer of the hit biblical TV series The Chosen, Matthew Faraci, joins us next. Hey guys, it's Carson. I have been eager to tell you about Factor Meals. Remember this. There are a ton of meal services that require you to assemble the ingredients, and that's all fine, but time is such a valuable commodity. Why not have excellent chef-crafted and dietitian-approved meals delivered to your door? Factor has 35 different options a week to choose from. My wife and I love them. My son has a new place. He loves them. Options include calorie smart, vegan, veggie. How about turkey chili with zucchini? Sun-dried tomato chicken, tomato goat cheese cavatappi pasta. Most microwave meals are frozen and they look like crappy airline food. Not Factor Meals. Factor has two-minute meals that are ready to eat whenever you are. I love their smoothies and their shots, especially their ginger cayenne shot. Gets me going every day. It's a rush. No prep, no mess. Factor Meals are ready to heat and eat. Head to factormeals.com/newsmax50. Use promo code newsmax50. Get 50% off. factormeals.com/newsmax50 and get 50% off. factormeals.com/newsmax50. I don't know if you've noticed lately, but things are pretty volatile in this country. A lot of people are having to come back out of retirement to work. That number's gone up 400%. Because we don't know which way the stock market's going to go, which way interest rates are going to go. Silver has historically been considered a safe haven asset during times of market volatility. When uncertainty rises, investors often turn to precious metals like silver to prepare wealth and hedge against economic instability. Physical silver provides you with a tangible asset that you can hold on to in your hand. CSN Mint has been providing certified U.S. Mint collectible coins and precious metals for over 20 years, and they are one of the most trusted names in tangible coin assets. Every product you purchase includes the original certificate of authenticity or is certified and graded by a third-party grader to ensure origin and purity. With CSN Mint, you can build your silver and gold coin collection with confidence. And if you're going to collect something, it might as well be money itself, right? So go to csnmint.com/newsmax. Use promo code Newsmax, and you'll get one free silver eagle over $30 in value with your purchase of $75 or more. Browse the entire catalog at csnmint.com/newsmax and find out what works for you, your budget, and your family. That's csnmint.com/newsmax and use promo code Newsmax, okay? Joining us on the Newsmax hotline, Matthew Faraci. He is the founder and president of Gideon 300 and Inspire Buzz Media Company's executive producer of the hit biblical series, The Chosen, which is amazing. He is an Orthodox Jew. I am an unorthodox Catholic, and he joins us on the Newsmax hotline. How are you, my friend?
Well, listen, first of all, I have to wish a great Good Friday to the Sultan of Speech, the guru of gab, Rob Carson.
Thank you very much. I am not worthy. I am not worthy. there's so much to get to, Matthew. I hope you are well. I know that there is a good deal of turmoil with regard to the Democrat Party, the leadership of our country, and its support of Israel. Before you go, I want to play you a soundbite from Alan Dershowitz on Newsmax. Joe Lieberman's last words, a warning to Democrats as far as alienating Jewish people. So we're going to get to that in a second. But, you know, you've got Democrats not supporting Israel in its existential war against Hamas. You know my feelings on it. I say evacuate the innocent, raise Gaza to powder. No two-state solution. They've had it. They've had it for years, and they ruined it. That's how I feel about it. But apparently all of this pressure on Israel, all of this pressure, like, for instance, Chuck Schumer trying to depose Benjamin Netanyahu in a time of great crisis, appears to be backfiring. You guys have done some research on this. I'd love to hear about it.
Well, first of all, Rob, one of the things I was thinking about this morning was that Chuck Schumer took the time to call out Bibi Netanyahu, but he did not take the time to call out the mullahs of Iran,
yes,
who are responsible for this. And right? And I just found that ironic. You call for regime change with an ally, but you won't call for regime change with the bad guys. right? So
I don't, Matthew, I don't understand this. You know, we've heard the term self-loathing Jew. You've heard the self-loathing liberal. Self-loathing liberal could be a white woman, and yet she feels like white supremacy, and she's guilty about it. I don't understand. I don't understand how somebody can say something like Chuck Schumer did and be a Jew in good standing.
Well, one of the things that, you know, when I first came to Washington, D.C. many eons ago, my first job, and I'm sure you remember him, Rob, was I worked for the great TV host John McLaughlin, who pretty much invented the talk show. In fact, the show on Newsmax with Chris Plant was kind of modeled on that, that show, the McLaughlin Group. Yeah. And I remember when I first went to work for him, he said, listen, I only want you to remember one rule in this town. And I said, what's that? And he said, politics always drives policy, which as a young man, I thought that was a very cynical thing to say. And as a now older, more experienced man, I realized he was absolutely spot on. Yeah. And that's what we found in this poll was that, first of all, this is obviously being done for political purposes. That doesn't take a genius to figure that one out. We did a poll with Scott in partnership with Scott Rasmussen, and if I can, before I get into that, Rob, just 2 seconds on the context.
Yes, sir.
What everybody knows that the conflict between Bibi and the Biden administration centers around the impending invasion of Rafah, the last stronghold of Hamas, where the rest of the bad guys are hiding out and hoping that Israel won't come get them. But underneath that, and separate from that, and this has actually been publicly reported already, is the fact that the State Department is working furiously to try to push Israel into a peace deal at the end of this war. And the peace deal would be with who? The Palestinian Authority. Because who do you make a peace deal with? What government is there? Well, you've got Hamas and the Palestinian Authority. So we ask voters, hey, what do you think of a peace deal between Israel and the Palestinian Authority? And by a slim margin, they said they favored it. But then we went on to ask them, Scott's idea, hey, we're going to give you the facts and see if when you're presented with the facts, does that change your view? And the facts are that the Palestinian Authority is aligned with Hamas. In fact, they called with a unity government. They called for a unity government with Hamas before they backed off of that and said, well, we may have to wait a while. So it's potato patata, right, Rob? They're both terror cartels. Mm-hmm. Terrorism is what they peddle in. And once we asked voters that question, there was a dramatic, to your point at the beginning of this broadcast, there was a dramatic shift in opinion and from for to against. So everybody came out against this quote unquote proposed peace deal. But the most significant movement, Rob, was Democrats, a 30-point shift among Democrats when they learned about the facts involving the situation. And in all the polls I've done, which, as you know, have been a lot, I've never seen a swing that dramatic before.
Well, you know, the networks all are paying attention to these AstroTurf Hamas protests or pro-Palestine protests like the one in New York outside of the Radio City event. It is AstroTurf. It was created. They created the hospital bombing like they created George Floyd's death, and they used it for political purposes. The exact same template, by the way. You know this as well as I do. The exact same template. And I'm going to tell you, I'm glad to see that the American people can see through that. I'm really glad, because the networks are doing their level best to talk about having a two-state solution, and the American people know at their heart that the American people are long-suffering, or the Jewish people are long-suffering, we have an entire generation of Americans who died. Many of them died liberating the Jews from concentration camps. So that's still in our heart. It's still in our heart, and we still have a kinship with the Jewish people. But Matthew, it is frightening, and I can't imagine what it's like to be Jewish in New York City right now when you've got that happening, or on the campus of Berkeley right now.
Yes, and Rob, by the way, I don't know if you saw this, but I think I mentioned this to you, but in the New York Post, there was a wonderful story where the governor of Oklahoma, Kevin Stitt, came out and said, hey, Jews of New York, there's violence, there's crime, there's Hamas protests. It's not safe for you anymore. Please come to Oklahoma. We love you, and we want you to be here.
And isn't you know what? It is a wonderful thing. And did you hear they're going to rename the state Oklahoma for the Jews? they are Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping behind the plane. You know, that kind of thing. Why not? I mean, what a great place to be. I want to play this soundbite last night. Alan Dershowitz on, and I don't understand Alan Dershowitz. He's a very smart man, but he doesn't get it. He still, you know, he says he might vote for Joe Biden. I mean, dear God in heaven, man, what is up with you? But here's what he said last night about the last thing that Joe Lieberman scribed with him before he passed away. Here it is.
This is probably the last thing he ever wrote. The working with the joint statement that we and several others were going to issue, warning the Democrats that they can't count on Jewish votes if they abandon Israel. This is probably the last thing he ever wrote. These are his handwriting interlineations just 2 or 3 hours before he fell and then died. In today's Wall Street Journal, I published the statement that he and I drafted together. It's a warning to President Biden saying you can't count on pro-Israel Jewish votes, and you can't mortgage our votes to what we call the two-state solution, namely Michigan and Minnesota, being fearful of losing a couple of 100,000 Muslim and Arab votes in Michigan, we think has caused a lot of changes in the attitude. So Joe and I were working on a statement when I literally learned about his death, and I published the statement today in the Wall Street Journal, and we're going to continue in his memory this effort to try to return the Democrats to a pro-Israel position so that Israel remains a bipartisan issue.
Now, do you think that it's too late for the Democrat Party, this iteration of the Democrat Party, with regard to the Jewish people?
Well, you know, James Carville actually warned about, well, first of all, Rob, let me just tell you, the polling, the numbers don't lie. So Harvard Caps Harris X has done a poll, I think almost every week, about this issue. And I've been watching this poll. And since October 7th, support for Israel is around 79 or 80%.
Wow.
of all voters. So no matter what you see on TikTok, no matter what you see on the state propaganda media, the country is squarely behind Israel. So that's number one. Number two, James Carville came out recently and said the same thing. He said these Hamas people are going to be a problem for you. I'm sure, Rob, you saw the big protest outside the president's $25 million fundraiser in New York. I believe it was yesterday.
Yes.
So they should listen to Senator Lieberman, and they should listen to Mr. Dershowitz. Senator Lieberman, an incredible statesman and great person, also good friend of Newsmax. Last time I had the privilege to see him was at a Newsmax function, actually.
Yes.
And, you know, they should listen to these guys, and they should listen to the numbers. And it's unconscionable what's happening. I mean, if you think about this, Rob, the war would be over at this point if it
Yes.
wasn't for meddling. It would be done. It would be finished.
What really sickens me, Matthew, is that they put Ukraine ahead of Israel. Israel should have $13 to $16 billion already. It should have been rubber stamped immediately, considering the crisis that Israel is going through. I want to ask you this: Donald Trump, of course, the media, you know, attacked him. He said just a couple weeks ago that you cannot be a Jew in good standing and vote Democrat right now, and he got all sorts of heat about it. I said, well, of course. Of course you shouldn't vote a Democrat, you know? So what were your thoughts on Donald Trump saying that?
Well, I think what President Trump was trying to convey is this idea of look at what's actually happening. Look what's happening in the world. Look at what is happening to Israel. To your point, Rob, Israel has always been a bipartisan issue. I mean, just like so many other things we're experiencing in our culture where we say, I would never have thought, dot, 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 that this would be happening. Israel's always been a bipartisan issue. And the fact that you have that this isn't even a question is I'm still getting my head wrapped around it. And I think President Trump clearly did more great things for Israel than any president in recent memory. That's not a political comment. That's just a statement of fact.
Of course.
And in fact, you know, he set the Abraham Accords into motion, which many believe were the reason. Let me put it this way. Many people believe that October 7th happened because Iran feared an Abraham Accords type deal with Saudi Arabia. So he put the Middle East on the right track. And that's the bigger existential point for America right now is Israel is the only stable democracy in the Middle East.
Yes.
And then the rest of the Middle East, you know, it is not in the American interest to have an unstable Middle East, you know?
Exactly.
So this is where we're headed.
I want to ask you, you know, I've been saying that the country's coming together. I say that hillbillies, homeboys, and I've added Hebrews, are all coming together, Jews and Gentiles, liberals and conservatives, and we are coming together. And Matthew, I made this point earlier, and you, as an Orthodox Jew, you know that one of the things that can bring a group of people together more than anything else is suffering. And many are suffering while Washington, D.C. lives high on the hog. Would you agree that what we've been through the last 4 to 8 years, the suffering we've incurred is bringing us together?
Well, I think it's an interesting thing, Rob, that you bring that up, because I remember when I, in my sort of younger years, people would, you know, conflict over kind of sectarian issues, right? And now what we've seen, and I'm very happy to see this, is that Jews and Christians and Catholics and, you know, people of different orientations around the, you know, I call it people of the good book, have come together and said, hey, let's put aside our differences and let's stand up for Judeo-Christian values that made this country great. And that's why I think there's some, you know, some things flying out there recently to try to cause a division and a rift in that. And I think, Rob, you know, my knowing you and you knowing me, if we can keep duplicating those relationships, that's how we solve this. It's just good people coming together and saying we are determined to stand together for what is right, to stand together for what is good, to stand together for the truth. And in that, we know, because the scriptures show us that, we know who gets to win in the end, and it's God, and it's not the bad guys.
Amen. All right. Well, Matthew Faraci, I appreciate you joining me today from Oklahoma. You know, maybe they should do Virginia. So Oklahoma, Virginia. They could do.
Rob, I think you're going to have to start a whole. I'll let you know when it happens. You'll have to start a whole T-shirt line.
Okay? All right, brother. Hey, God bless you, my friend. And I know good is going to win. I know we're going to turn things around. I know we're going to bring our country back. And it's going to be a glorious day when it happens. Have a glorious weekend, my friend. And we'll talk again soon, okay?
Honored to be with you, great Carson.
All right, let's take a break. This is the Rob Carson Show. I like Oklahoma. I think that's a pretty good idea. Matthew Faraci is amazing. If you haven't seen The Chosen, it's like, wow. Really, really good. I'm going to be talking about some legislation to prevent squatting in Florida, in New York. They're saying, here's an idea. How about put a don't trespass sign on the lawn? I'm like, oh, that's brilliant. Just brilliant. Squatting is a big deal. Virtual squatting is a big deal, too, by the way. I think we realize now that the people who are in power, if they're Democrats, really don't care. You know, you got criminals who get off after beating people, after beating police officers, allowing people to squat in homes for years where homeowners should just easily be able to kick them out. But no. So you think the government's going to come and help you out when somebody maybe forges your signature, transfers the ownership of your property to them, uses your home equity, and you don't even know about it until you maybe want to sell your home and you want to retire with it, and yeah, there's $50,000 gone. And you don't have the money to, you know, to pay legal fees to try to fight. It could be in court for years. Do you want to find out if somebody is trying to steal your home or maybe already has to some degree? then go to HomeTitleLock.com and use promo code Carson, okay? You'll get a free comprehensive scan of your home's title, 30 days of legendary home title lock protection, and all you got to do is go to HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Carson. That's, again, HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Carson, all right? Do it, will you? You know, I think we need a little palate cleanser. After the optimistic interview with Matthew Farace, maybe an optimistic song about what's coming in November. Jim Gossett.
There's a bloodbath coming this November. All this nonsense we're gonna remember.
This is from Oklahoma.
Trump's polling as high as an elephant's eye. And it looks like MSNBC's gonna die.
Bye-bye!
Oh, what a beautiful morning.
Oi!
Oh, what a beautiful day.
Oi!
I've got a beautiful feeling. Biden is going away.
I do, too. All right, so we got plenty coming up next hour. Going to talk a little bit about the squatting laws that are being passed. Also, there is an epidemic in New York City of people cold cocking women. All right, and there's a new case where a woman had her jaw completely broken. She'll never be able to speak again, and the guy is out of jail. That's coming up. This is the Rob Carson Show. Hey guys, it's Carson. I want to tell you about a remarkable product called Field of Greens, the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you to go on this journey with me. Literally, one scoop a day of Field of Greens. It tastes great. It's completely improved my life. This is nutrition the way nature intended. This vegetable blend has given me more energy throughout the day. I'm sleeping better throughout the night. I'm feeling better and looking healthier overall. And if you don't believe me, look at my social media. Looking pretty hot. Thank you very much. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they give you a 100% money-back guarantee. My listeners get 15% off with your first order and free rush shipping. This is great stuff. It tastes good. I eat it every day. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code Newsmax. That's fieldofgreens.com, promo code Newsmax. You're going to love this stuff.
Wide web. This is the Rob Carson Show.
And by the grace of God, it is finally Good Friday. Good Friday, and I'm optimistic about the country. There's a lot of trials and tribulations, but you know what? You got to go through tribulations to get to enlightenment. I've been saying that for a while. Listen to this. I want you to listen to this. This is a Chicago City Council chambers. These are black people talking about going red. No more blue. Talking about leaving the Democrat Party. I think there's a great awakening happening. I really, really do. I really, really do. The people who have tried to divide us for so long, they're doing a faceplant because all they offer is misery. All that Joe Biden offers you is misery. And last night, I mean, the ultimate example of Washington, D.C., the privileged class, the bourgeois versus us, who are fighting for the crumbs more than we've ever had to fight before. Donald Trump goes to a police officer's wake. The Democrat Party in New York City and around the country decided it would be a smart idea to defend the police and then to rip on the police and then to demean them and defame them and call them pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. I can go on and on. And they burned the country in the summer of 2020. And where are we today? Where are black people today? Where are poor white people today? Where are Jews today? With regard to the Democrat Party, all of these things are going to bring us together. All of these things are going to bring us together. I just, I feel good about it. I really do. But you know what? We've got to come together because there are so many people who are trying to tear us apart and doing their level best to destroy the country in the meantime. That's another thing. Destroying the country is a very, very big part of it, by the way. So I'm optimistic. Before we go any further, I know that Bob in Nottingham has been holding. Bob, I want to welcome you to the Rob Carson Show on this Good Friday. What's on your mind today, my friend?
Hi, Rob. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Yes, sir.
I hate to rain on your parade. I too am excited that that more people are starting to wake up, but the Democrats, the Democrat leadership, not the Democrats. Democrat leadership, they're communists, they're socialists, they're Marxists. They do not want anything to be successful.
Of course.
If you look at everything they've done, everything they're doing, starting with Joe Biden's first day in office, where they signed off, where they eliminated everything that was working for the company or for the country.
Yes.
Has been to destroy the an attempt to destroy the country.
Yes.
I thought bringing all these illegal aliens, like I think a lot of people believe, that bringing illegal aliens into the country was to bolster the Democrat Party.
Yes.
But I do not believe that that's what they're doing. They're bringing them in to bankrupt the country.
Yes.
Every city.
And, of course.
And the crime, they're allowing crime. Because they want to force businesses to close in the cities, so that the people that live in the cities have to go to the country to get food.
Yeah,
I think we're in for a major awakening.
You're already awake, bro. You're already awake. Everything you've just said right there, this is the thing I love about it, is that all of this has been exposed, Tom. And I realize that not everybody knows about it. There are a lot of people who are denying, but if you look at the ratings for the news, if you look at how MSNBC is doing a face plant, people are very aware. And what we need to do, Tom, and I'm not meaning to interrupt you, I want to continue your thought, but that's the great thing about it, is now we know they've exposed their faces so we can kick their asses. That's what I've been saying, but go ahead and complete your thought.
But Rob, they don't care, because what people are not expecting is they're not expecting the release of another virus that's going to shut down the election. Everybody's like, oh yeah, we're going to win. Everybody's optimistic that the poll numbers just keep increasing and increasing, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the election is canceled.
Mm-hmm. So what do you suggest? Should we just take it? Let's just let the country fail. Is that what you're? What are you saying? I'm trying to figure out what you want here.
No, I'm not giving up. I just don't want people to be caught off guard.
Oh, of course,
We're excited that we're going to win, and then they declare a state of emergency because of another virus that the Democrats initiate along with the CCP.
I understand.
Just be prepared.
Of course, and this is why, Bob, this is why I say stay focused as the founders, Bob. And listen, I'm not doing a victory dance. I told you, we've got many, many tribulations to go through, and I predict that, well, first of all, we're knee-deep in it, okay, which not coming, we're already knee-deep in it, but it can get a whole lot worse, and I expect it to, Bob. Don't get me wrong, but I'm going to tell you that the American people are more awake than they've ever been with regard to the abuses and usurpations that are being delivered by the federal government. So I do appreciate your caution, and please do not take my optimism as being naive about what we face, okay?
Oh, certainly not.
All right,
not.
Brother.
I want to make sure everybody understands that that looking forward to the election in November may be disheartening.
I know, brother. Well, you know what? I'll just say that this election won't be allowed to be stolen. That's what I believe. I appreciate you calling today, Bob. This is, and Vivek Ramaswamy, he said it, this is a 1776 moment. This is the first time we faced it since the Civil War. This is the biggest existential threat to the country that we've seen since the Civil War. I believe and I know that the people who are in favor of the country as founded and who would fight for the country as founded are better armed intellectually and physically. I also know that there is a great awakening happening that is actually bringing people together from both sides of the political spectrum. We haven't seen that in a while. Yes, we have a very political election coming up, but the American people are beginning to see, as I mentioned last night, that event last night is a prime example. East Palestine is a prime example. The failings of the socialist movement in this country are a prime example. The fact that we've got a president with dementia, a prime example. A third party candidate who's going to draw votes from that, another prime example. So, yeah, I get it, man. We've got a lot of things to worry about. Don't get me. I mean, but I'm telling you, now that we know what they're all about, as I said, they've uncovered their faces. Now we can kick their asses. And that's how I feel about it. And I think people are ready for it. Those people who were just singing in the Chicago City Council meeting, they know. They know what's going on. They're more enlightened than ever. They're not going to be snowed anymore. Not going to be snowed anymore by this. Let's go to Tom in Owings Mills, Maryland. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's going on today?
Well, your last caller does have a point in that the antitrust action against Apple might be a prepayment to Bill Gates to loose the Kraken. We'll have to wait and see. Yeah, but yeah. I called about this farcical talk of trespass signs. That might work in most states where you could throw the trespasser off if you catch them in the act and you only have to go to the sheriff.
Yes.
You know, if they've been there for some time.
Yeah.
But in a state like New York where they've given somebody the ex-Marine Penny treatment, in the land of Lakeisha James, I doubt even if you brandished old Betsy and bounced the lamps there, she'd probably put you in jail and let the squatter stay where he was.
Yeah, you know, this problem with squatting is being exposed like it's never been exposed before. You know, we had the case of the woman who was literally arrested when she changed the locks on her own home. And I think it's really beginning to backfire on Democrats in a major way.
Of adverse possession is an antiquated concept from the Middle Ages that ought to
of
be
course.
Cleared out of the way anyway. But I might answer Todd Stern's Twilight's Last Gleaming with a book entitled It's Always Darkest Before the Dawn's Early Light.
Amen, brother. 100%. And that means a lot coming from the Baltimore area. Thanks for the call, bro. I do appreciate it. I do appreciate it. Yeah. ABC7 reporter in New York, Nina Pineda, said that what you want to prove to police is that the sign was up before the squatters moved in. So put a new no trespassing sign up on your lawn. Timestamp the photograph so they know there's no trespassing. Is that completely clueless? You know. So basically, you say no trespassing. Timestamp it. I don't know how you do that. Hold the, you know, copy the paper. That's what they, you know, always do, right? Isn't that what they always do in the crime television? You know, you always put up the paper when you're holding a hostage, so you know what day it is. I don't know. And she says that would at least give you the opportunity to show that trespassing was not allowed on the property. No. Because these guys, they come up with fake deeds. They come up with fake rental agreements. Sometimes you don't even need that. They're using word of mouth. We'll see. This is Jake Blumenkranz, a New York state representative, talking about new legislation they're working on.
All it does is remove the statute in the law that says that squatters are considered tenants under the law. They'll be considered trespassers, as they are in many of these cases, like that gentleman with the receipt. I know that looked like very good evidence, but unfortunately, that could leave you in court for years, and you'll be paying their taxes, their water bills. There's a case in Queens. Mm-hmm. A woman is paying for her home, and the squatter is renting out the home on Airbnb.
What I don't get, you talked about court, what I don't get is how these fraudulent leases signed between a squatter and his quote-unquote tenant aren't automatically rejected the moment they go in front of a judge. It seems like that should be, like, gone immediately. Yet you're saying this lasts for years and years.
Yeah, unfortunately, they get bogged down in a New York legal system that sides almost always with the tenants. And in many of these cases, a lot of these homeowners, this is their only property. This is not big, scary landlord. This is mom and pops. This is people with their first home. They lived their whole life to buy that home. And now they're stuck with someone with false papers or a crazy case, and it could take them years. The courts are backed up. We had the stay in evictions in New York for many years, and now there's 30,000 plus cases last year. There's over 6,000 this year, year to date, and it's only getting worse.
Yeah, there was a sheriff in Texas who said, shoot him. He said, if you get shot, you're squatting in somebody's house, his jurisdiction, his county, isn't going to do anything about it. You're on your own. Two words, yon yon. Yeah, yon yon comes that. Now, with regard to where I live, that's what would happen to you. And I don't think you get a lot of pushback, to be quite honest. But unfortunately, these are the Democrats who are always on the wrong side of history. Ron DeSantis on Monday signed legislation aimed at addressing mounting concerns over minors. Oh, that's a different one. Forget that. Florida property owners will get some relief after Ron DeSantis signed an anti-squatting bill on Wednesday, a move that was commemorated by a professional squatter remover. Now, this is a company. He's a guy who literally, he's a professional squatter remover, Flash Shelton. Flash Shelton, squatter remover. First encountered the problem when he decided to squat in his mother's California property following his father's death. What he did, Sheldon recalled how local law enforcement refused to act. I decided to break the laws down and figured out that if I could take a day, take a house, I could take a house, and I got squatters out in less than a day. So what he decided to do is he literally changed the lock, move in, and he says he's a squatter too. So you hire this guy, he squats in your home to drive the squatters out. That's actually a pretty good idea. That's a pretty good idea. It's like, you heard the story. My mom, she did that. We had apartments. If they didn't pay the rent, she would move in. Say, I'm your new roommate. Congratulations. Guess what? You either got rent or they got out. That's just the way it worked. But hire a squatter. Move right in. Even if you are the owner, move in and say, I'm squatting too. See how long that lasts. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show.
Here's to a record-setting president. Joe Biden setting record low approval ratings.
What the Democrats have put our nation through. It is a sad day.
It's the Rob Carson Show.
It is the Rob Carson Show on a Friday. And if I'm not mistaken, Jim Gossett has put together another Easter song for us. This about Alvin Bragg and the Stormy Daniels case that he cobbled together with the help of Joe Biden's White House and Barack Obama. While New York City goes to hell in a handbasket, the Rob Carson Show.
Oh, Alvin Bragg's enormous. Fat Alvin just informed us.
Ginormous.
He's persecuting Donald in his Easter charade.
Nice.
Evidence he's lacking.
Lacking.
But he's got Soros backing.
He does.
George is pulling all the strings in this Easter charade. Alvin, you've had time. Still can't name a crime.
No, not really.
Alvin, you've got nothing. It's a big waste cause you don't have a case. Facts he's not producing. Alvin could use reducing.
Sounds like the Lawrence Welk
He'll
show.
He'll be the biggest loser in the Easter charade.
My dad used to make me watch that. My dad would make me watch the Lawrence Welk show on Sundays. It was a big deal. He was a World War II veteran guy. And so we watched the Lawrence Welk show. I had to watch the Lawrence Welk show to get to the wonderful world of Disney. And it was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Anyway, Democrat New York poised to become the first city in the U.S. to hit drivers with punitive tolls after transit officials on Wednesday approved a $15 fee for most motorists heading into Manhattan. It's not a big deal. It's only $15, right? Except for when you do it 5 days a week. For the whole year, it's about $3,600 to people who are already suffering. Yeah, there you go. Schemes like this have been mounted in London, Stockholm, Milan, and Singapore. And there you go. Daily parking always runs $25 to $50 in the congestion zone, which includes a dozen neighborhoods in Manhattan that are south of 60th Street. So There you go. Good job, guys. And then there's this. Then there's this. Dolce Pichardo, 57, was left with a fractured face, three teeth knocked out, and her jaw wired shut after a stranger viciously sucker punched her. All right? Franz Judy, 32, violently assaulted her in broad daylight on Grand Avenue near Dean Street in Brooklyn. Here is, well, listen to this. This is her, this is sad, in her own words.
He broke in all my all this here.
Dulce Pichardo can hardly speak. Her jaw is wired shut. This is the result of a single punch. Take a look. Surveillance video shows the attacker ignores another man walking by, but zeroes in on Pichardo. He punches her in the face. The blow makes Pichardo unstable on her feet.
Knocked out three of her teeth. An innocent woman. This is happening all the time in New York City. All right? It's time that Americans got mad and started kicking some ass. Because if the police aren't going to do it, then we're going to have to do it. I'm going to tell you that right now. Where I live, if that happened here, you'd be dogpiled by about five people, and at least three of them probably be concealed carry. That's the way it is here.
You can see her stumbling backwards. She says it was unprovoked. Her attacker never said a word.
He just punched me. The right side here. Very strong.
It happened Tuesday evening here at Grand Avenue and Dean Street in Crown Heights. Pichardo was walking home after her shift as a bus aide.
But you know, they're going after Donald Trump. Yeah.
He tells us after being hit, she asked her attacker.
I'm surprised. I say, what's going on? Why you hit me? What I do it? I don't do anything. No reason to hit me.
Pichardo's brother, who owns a restaurant across the street, was able to chase Franz Judy down until police
now,
arrived.
Now, one thing that people are not mentioning, and I was hearing my friend Chris Plant show this morning, is a lot of this are black males attacking white or Caucasian women. Does that surprise you when our schools are teaching CRT and our universities are teaching DEI? That says that white people are evil. Uh-huh. By the way, this jackweed has been charged with misdemeanor assault and is released and back on the streets despite seven prior arrests. I think we've reached our breaking point. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show. It's Good Friday. I mean, they're all good, right? But this one's very special. I hope you have a great weekend with your families. So, the FDA had to come out and say that ivermectin actually works after they called it horse medicine. Dr. Peter McAuliffe was called all sorts of names, was demonized by the CDC, the HHS, other doctors, credible doctors, Marty McCary, and others all went through this because our federal government decided to tell doctors what they could and could do to treat their patients so they could drive people toward, some big pharma companies creating vaccines. That's what it's all about. I can say that now because, it was disinformation a few months ago. But I can say it now. And now Dr. Peter McAuliffe is risen like a phoenix from the ashes and created the wellness company. Said stick it to the federal government. Has put together this wellness company where you can get an emergency medical kit in case the supply chain breaks down. Well, let's see what happened in Baltimore. Yeah. The supply chain just broke down. A ship collides with the Francis Scott Key Bridge. They're not going to be able to get ships in and out of that port for weeks, and then the bridge will take years to build. What happens if that's your medicine? Well, right now, you can go to the wellness company's website and get an emergency medical kit with ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, Z-Pak, amoxicillin, all the things you need from a tick bite to a pandemic. And you're going to save 10%. A lot of people, they'll be like, what is it? Give me this high. Here it is. Really easy to remember. Three letters and then .health. TWC.health/Carson. All right? TWC.health/Carson. You can get that emergency medical kit. You can get a travel kit. You can get their special formulation that can help you if you're concerned about the vaccine. If you're a vaccine recipient, there's a way to detoxify yourself from the problematic elements of the vaccine. And it's a protocol. It's a genuine protocol. It's working. All right. Maybe it didn't affect you at all. That's fine. But the wellness company is a place you need to go if you're concerned about a supply chain breakdown. And honestly, think about how volatile this year is already. Imagine where it's going to go from here. TWC.health/Carson. TWC.health/Carson. New York City is putting body scanners in subways. There you go. That's how stupid they are. They put in the National Guard rather than the National Guard standing there with guns saying, don't try anything or we'll take you down. They have set up tables where women have to have their purses searched and guys have to have their backpacks searched. And now they're talking about body scanners. Oh, and in that time, somebody's been shoved in front of a train and killed in the last week, and another person was shot. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. There may be a point. I mean, I don't know if I could live in Manhattan not being able to defend myself. Honestly, I couldn't. A, it's too expensive, and B, you have no way to protect yourself in New York City, and you know... It's not going to get any better because there are idiots in charge. They are idiots in charge. I was going to do a little bit more on New York, but I'm not going to. I'm going to wait. Oh, let's do this. This is a story on the heels of, you know, what happened to the police officer in New York City and the defunding of police. And we found out that 200 police officers are leaving the force in New York City every month. They are even choosing to skip early retirement because they want to live. They want to live. The Democrat Party did this. The Democrat Party, children of the Democrat Party, threw a big temper tantrum. They graduated from college. They were taught a bunch of nonsense. And people like AOC and others decided suddenly that police are bad because of George Floyd's death, not murder. And what has happened? What has happened to America's cities? Well, they demonized police. They ruined police officers' lives. There were some places they were going to make police liable for everything, not the municipality. And then we found out it was all based on nonsense. And what happens? What happens? Well, women get punched in the face and have their jaws broken by people. And people get released while the DA is going after Donald Trump for a confidentiality agreement with Stormy Daniels decades ago. It's stupid. Listen to this story out of Baltimore, though. If you have any, if you're wondering what defunding the police has done, and I got to tell you, to the police officers who are listening to this show, no matter where you are, I don't know how you do it. I really don't. All I can say is thank you for doing it. I say that to our soldiers as well, to people who sign up to be in the military. I don't know how you do it. Sometimes I question why, considering the people who are in charge right now, but you do it, and I thank you for that. But listen what happens. This is what's happening in Baltimore.
In the Southern District on Tuesday, there was a plea for officers to work overtime. Minutes later, it went citywide.
Citywide, overtime available on today's date, Charlie Schiff, Southern District.
Baltimore's Southern Police District is the city's largest district, 61,000 residents. And on Tuesday afternoon, sources tell us at one point there were three police officers on patrol.
Wow.
Just seconds after the plea for officers hit the airwaves, so did pleas for help.
If anyone in Sector 2 can come clear, we have a physical child abuse at Morrill Park, and there's a 10-year-old at the location with bruises all over his body. Okay, we also have a common assault. Have a missing person,
66,000 people, three cops.
10 minutes after that child abuse call was transmitted, it appears there were still no officers en route.
We still have that physical child abuse.
Yes, sir.
Be
advised, we are now holding 10 calls. No priority ones. We still have the...
Holding 10 calls, no police to get there.
Physical child abuse and the common assault.
And it's heartbreaking. Imagine if you are a crime victim.
Betsy Smith with the National Police Association calls the city's police staffing dangerously low.
You are endangering the lives of the police officers that are on duty. And what that further does is endanger the lives of the citizens.
There's 522 vacancies.
At a city budget hearing last year, the top...
Good job, Democrats. Way to go. Real smart move.
Brass admitted it struggled with recruitment and is hoping to hire civilians to fill in the gap.
Oh, that'll work.
We're looking at upwards to 120 to 140 positions that we're trying to create in this request to be able to sustain going forward.
The reason that 9 out of every 10 police departments in this country is short-staffed is because... we have been dealing with here in the United States this 3.5, almost 4-year vilification and demonization of the American law enforcement officer.
Until perceptions change, Smith predicts recruitment will not improve and the pleas for officers will grow louder.
Yeah, and the American people, I think, are done with this. And, I mean, look at this. We got squatters in homes who can stay there for years. We've got women being punched in the face in places like New York City. We've got not enough police officers to handle everything. And then when the police do something, they get sued about it. You had illegal aliens beat down police officers, and then Alvin Bragg lets them out while he's focusing millions of dollars on the Trump case to prevent Donald Trump from becoming the president. It is remarkable. And I think people, particularly, you know, a lot of people in America's inner cities absolutely get it. Absolutely get it. The RNC is mulling limiting NBC's convention access over the Ronna McDaniel debacle. The positive is that she's getting ready for a defamation lawsuit against NBC. I hope she sues the crap out of him. Donald Trump, I hope he does a $1 billion lawsuit against ABC after George Stephanopoulos said that he was convicted of rape. Remember that? A couple weeks ago, Donald Trump's going to sue their butts off. I hope he gets $1 billion. I really, really do. But anyway, Ronna McDaniel, she's going to recoup every penny of her $600,000 contract, $300,000 per year, which, by the way, is a pittance, apparently, at the major network. And she's going to get every bit of that. And now it looks like they could be going after her, or she could go after them for defamation. I hope that includes some of the hosts like Joy Reid. Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah. Here's a little montage of the madness at MSNBC and NBC.
The fact that Ms. McDaniel is on the payroll at NBC News, to me, that is inexplicable.
I have some thoughts about Ronna McDaniel and the normalization of the dangerous, damned lies from the Republican Party.
Ooh, sue her.
She is a co-conspirator and an enabler.
Ooh, that's Charlie Sykes. Sue him, too.
Anti-democracy election denier.
Charlie Sykes, by the way, I used to fill in on his show in Milwaukee. And he's supposed to be a conservative. He's one of these people. I don't get out. I don't know what he was paid. I don't know who bought his soul, whatever. But Charlie Sykes, Joe Scarborough, and Michael Steele, I mentioned this. They're all Republicans. Ronna McDaniel, Republican. The difference. Are you ready? There's no daylight between the views of the aforementioned Republicans on MSNBC and Joy Reid and Rachel Maddow. They are one and the same.
Lied to the American people to further the autocratic movement that is Trumpism.
She dropped the Romney from her name, apparently, because Donald Trump hates Mitt Romney.
How does that feel? To change your name to curry favor with a madman.
Ooh, sue him too.
We weren't asked our opinion of the hiring, but if we were, we would have strongly objected.
This is an adult tempered tantrum of a child.
And I hope they will reverse their decision.
We hope NBC will reconsider its decision.
And this is not about not having Republicans on.
Right.
My good friend Michael Steele is the former also RNC chair.
And again, he's just like you.
If you are going to be on American media, you should be somebody who believes that there is something called truth, that there are things called fact.
Now, another thing about this, guys, and I mentioned this the other day, if you missed it, you know, I'd like to inform you. The federal government decided to be the Ministry of Truth for several years. They created a disinformation governance board. It was blown up, but it was deeply entrenched. CISA, DHS, all involved, Stanford Virality Project, among other things. And they all censored what they called disinformation and misinformation, which was the government's truth, which was what the government said was true. So you could not say that the vaccine efficacy was questionable. That was misinformation or disinformation. You could not say that the border is wide open a couple years ago because it was disinformation or misinformation. You could not say that CRT is bad and racist, disinformation, misinformation. I can go on and on. Everything, every policy that the federal government was pushing, you could not say anything against it because it was misinformation and disinformation. And while that has been exposed by people like Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger and this guy right here, MSNBC is still doing this. They are doctrinaires of misinformation and disinformation, all right? This isn't necessarily about politics. This is about towing the line that the federal government and deep state created, and essentially MSNBC being a state operation like Pravda, like Izvestia under the Soviet Union. That's it. And everybody on the air has to subscribe to those beliefs. That's what this is about. So that Ronna McDaniel could not flagellate herself for saying that she questioned the 2020 election to get hired at NBC. They cannot have any of that in election year. They cannot have any hint that the election of 2020 was not fine, that Joe Biden is not doing a great job, that the economy is not good. You have to be completely, it's almost like a sick religion. That's what this is all about. And that's why the RNC is mulling whether or not NBC should have full access. And I don't believe they should. Because they're not. NBC and MSNBC, I would venture to say also ABC and CBS, are no longer journalistic endeavors. It's very clear. Watch CBS. Watch 60 Minutes. They literally, Leslie Stahl, attempted to make the people who perpetrated this censorship into sympathetic figures last week. They still are lying about everything that we know is true. So as far as the Republican National Convention, screw them, because all they're going to do is shred the attendees, shred the candidate. What's the point in being there? Do you think that news is necessarily going to happen? Well, sure, they're going to announce a running mate. They're going to blah. But honestly, why would you invite the enemy to come in and not cover you as a journalistic endeavor, but a propaganda endeavor for the federal government? Doesn't make any sense, does it? Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show. This is kind of interesting. What happens in Canada is coming here. I've been saying this for a while. Everything that Canada is doing with Justin Trudeau is exactly what is happening in the United States of America, from shutting down freedom of speech to insane COVID restrictions, everything, to rampant inflation, to the housing crisis. They're a little bit ahead of us on the green energy nonsense. But secret police report warns Canadians may revolt once they realize how broke they are under Trudeau, as many under 35s are likely to never be able to buy a home. The report was commissioned to provide special operational information for senior police officers and decision makers in the federal government. It's a police crackdown. That's what they want to do here. That's why these red flag laws. That's why the FBI is looking at purchases at places like Bass Pro and Cabela's, looking up keywords like MAGA and Bible. Stay focused. It warns that young people face an accelerating decline in living standards and say that most will be unable to ever afford a home, and it predicts the country could collapse under pressure from economic crisis, ecological meltdown, and territorial disintegration. That's what they're trying to do here. Secret report by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police paints an apocalyptic picture of the future for America's northern neighbor, predicting it will be riven by economic crisis, ecological meltdown, and territorial disintegration, as I just said. Well, there you go. Exactly the same things going on here. The exact same thing. Except for you've got Pierre Poilievre and Donald Trump. There you go. Uh-huh. Ooh, hey, let's do this, shall we?
Gender confusion. What is my gender today?
Hey, hey.
Gender confusion.
Hey, hey. Okay.
I teach my elementary school students about gender identity.
This is the country we live in, and this is why we're turning away from nonsense to common sense. The truth about tucking. Trans women reveal the downsides of scrunching their crotch bulges, pain, itching, rashes, and even infertility, which you're supposedly a woman, so sperm production probably not that important anymore. So anyway, a trans TikToker, Dylan Mulvaney, says tucking away her bulge is painful. Well, yeah, this is why, and by the way, ladies who are listening, that's why we adjust. Just wanted you to know. It's not to be annoying or anything. It's just, a little binding, a little bit of, you know. What do you want us to become? Transgendered? There you go. How about that? Nearly two-thirds of male-to-female transitioners who squish their privates to avoid bulging crotch describe some kind of pain as a result. Well, no bleep, Sherlock. That's according to the University of Virginia's first-of-its-kind study on tucking. Pain, itching, and rashes are common problems in the tender area of the twigs and berries. Researchers found some tuckers, it gets worse. And we're not talking about Carlson. At least 1 in 10 got urinary tract infections. Others endure twisted gonads. Ouch. And skin infections. A handful of tuckers, end up infertile from scrunching their privates too hard. Nicholas Kidd, Kelly Mark, and other researchers said doctors must try harder to help trans patients. They should emphatically discuss tucking and its potential risks and benefits. From corsets to push-up bras, people for centuries have used clothes to shape how their body looks, but the sharp rise in men who see themselves as women in recent years has spurred demand for clothes that make them appear more feminine. Because, you don't want to be out, at the bar and you're doing a slow dance and all of a sudden, something comes between you and the guy goes, well, maybe not. So, just so you should know, tucking could be very painful and involved. Many trans opt for looser fitting items. Tuckers often use tape or tight underwear, some special undergarments known as gaff as well. That's a good way to end the show, isn't it? By the way, my TV show this weekend, Rob Carson's What in the World, the Newsmax, off the hook this weekend. You got to check it out. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show. That's going to do it for the show. Make sure to check out my show, Rob Carson's What in the World, on Newsmax this weekend. Have a blessed Easter weekend. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for everything. God bless America and Israel. Until Monday, don't catch the stupid. I'll see you then.